Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 4, Chapter 30, Shloka 44 and 45. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavas Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji and Mataji. Thank you all very much for being here this morning and we'll chant the invocation prayers.
Prabhuji, 1 minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Tipani Mataji, are you there?
Hare Krishna, yes. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I just wanted to take a moment to introduce you, Chaitanya Leela Das Prabhuji. So welcome to the program. And I just wanted to introduce Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji. He is a disciple of His Holiness Ramnaswami Maharaj. After completing engineering studies from the University of Delhi and ITT Kharagpur, Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji gathered a few years of corporate work experience with an IT MNC in Mumbai. Thereafter, he decided to serve the society at large as a resident monk at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, that's ISKCON Chaupati in Mumbai. For the last 12 years, he has been actively involved in sharing the essence of our Vedic scriptures with others at a number of corporate, social, and educational enterprises. Back at the temple, Prabhuji also heads the IT temple department, or I'm sorry, the temple IT department, excuse me, and assists in youth outreach. So I'll now pass the call over to you, Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for your kind words, Mataji. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 4, chapter 30, verses 44 and 45. Atha niryaya salitat salilat prachetasa udanvatuho vikshyakupyam drumais channam gam gam rodhum ivochritaye. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, all the prachetas emerged from the waters of the sea. They then saw that all the trees on land had grown very tall, as if to obstruct the path to the heavenly planets. These trees had covered the entire surface of the world. At this time, the prachetas became very angry. King Prachini Bharishad left his kingdom before his sons arrived after their execution of finance and austerity. The sons, the Prachetas, were ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come out of the water and go to the kingdom of their father in order to take care of the kingdom. However, when they came out, they saw that everything had been neglected due to the king's absence. They first observed that the food grains were not being produced and that there were no agricultural activities. Indeed, the surface of the world was practically covered by very tall trees. It seemed as though the trees were determined to stop people from going into outer space to reach the heavenly kingdoms. The Prachetas became very angry when they saw the surface of the globe covered in this way. They desired that the land be cleared for crops. It is not a fact that jungles and trees attract clouds and rain because we find rainfall over the sea. Human beings can inhabit any place on the surface of the earth by clearing jungles and converting land for agricultural purposes. People can keep cows and all economic problems can be solved in that way. We only need to work to produce grains and take care of the cows. The wood found in the jungles may be used for constructing cottages. In this way, the economic problem of humanity can be solved. At the present moment, there are many vacant lands throughout the world. And if they are properly utilized, there will be no scarcity of food. As far as rain is concerned, it is the performance of yajna that attracts rain. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava, yajnyad bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavah. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. By performing sacrifice, man will have sufficient rainfall and crops. We'll also read the next verse. Tato agni marutah rajan amunchan mukhato rusha mahim nirvirudham kartum samvartaka ivatyaye. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear king, at the time of devastation, Lord Shiva emits fire and air from his mouth out of anger. To make the surface of the earth completely treeless, the Prachetas also emitted fire and air from their mouths. Purport. In this verse, Vidura is addressed as Rajan, which means, O King. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that a Dhira never becomes angry because he is always situated in devotional service. Advanced devotees can control their senses. Therefore, a devotee can be addressed as Rajan. A king controls and rules in various ways among citizens. Similarly, one who can control his senses is the king of his senses. He is a Swami or Goswami. The Swamis and Goswamis are therefore sometimes addressed as Maharaja or King. Om Agyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalataya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manodhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahi Vadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Pamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitas Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kant Radha Kant Namostate Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhuve Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadam Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So on the preset, I'd like to thank all the devotees for assembling here this morning to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and giving me this opportunity of service this morning. So in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing the conversation that's happening between Vidura and Maitreya. So the event is Maitreya Rishi is describing to Vidura that how Narad Muni is glorifying the Prachetas after Dhruv Maharaj is liberated. The fourth canto pastime of Dhruv Maharaj is over. So Narad Muni is then glorifying the Prachetas. And thereafter the descendants of Dhruv Maharaj is described. And in the descendants of Dhruv Maharaj, the story of King Prachini Bharishat comes. And King Prachini Bharishat, it is described along with his wife Shatadruti, they gave birth to the 10 Prachetas. So these Prachetas are the 10 sons, 10 Prachetas, they are the sons of King Prachini Bharishat coming in the descendant dynasty of Dhruv Maharaj. And this particular chapter describes that how King Prachini Bharishat, he has ordered his sons to go and create progeny. And the Prachetas, having received this order, they set out in preparation for executing this service. And that is when they meet Lord Shiva and they are instructed by Lord Shiva. And it is described that they execute austerities in the bottom of the sea for 10,000 years. And at the end of the 10,000 years, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears before the Prachetas and he blesses them. And this particular verse that we are reading today, it's being mentioned that how after being blessed by the Supreme Lord, the Prachetas are now emerging back from the sea. And what do they see? They're seeing that the entire world is covered with huge tall trees. There is an overgrowth. And what do? They start emitting fire from their mouths and they start finishing and burning down all the trees to ashes. Now, when we hear, you know, such kind of stories from the Srimad Bhagavatam or other scriptures, sometimes they appear as, you know, the good old bedtime stories that we used to hear in our childhood days from the grandmothers. And grandmother would narrate such you know, astonishing stories, which would contain such, you know, amazing details. Now, those details were very fascinating, but very difficult to believe and very far from reality, and but typically like irrelevant to our own lives. So similarly, when we hear, you know, like the story of the Prachetas from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that the Prachetas, they entered into the ocean for executing their austerities. Now going inside water to practice tapasya. And not just for a small amount of time, they executed their austerities for a good 10,000 years at the bottom of the sea. And when they come out of the, when their austerity is over, they are blessed by the Supreme Lord, they come out and they start burning the entire overgrowth, the entire forests on the surface of the entire globe by emitting fire from their mouths. Now, let's remind ourselves that these are just 10 people. Just 10 of these guys, they're emitting fire and the entire forests all over the world is starting to burn. Now, such things might be, you know, might raise a question within our minds that how could such things be possible? And therefore, when we don't understand how could such things be possible, very easily we tag them as mythology. And that is how we find that people who are unable to understand, you know, how could such things be possible, they tag these events as mythology. And even we as devotees, when we hear such things, many times even we are bewildered. You know, really, did that actually happen? You know, we ourselves are bewildered. And we are, when we are questioned by others, we are speechless. We are unable to explain how could such truths be possible. And therefore, it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to properly understand, yes, how could these things be possible? We see from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explained, there's the second, fourth canto, 25th chapter, second verse in the purport Srila Prabhupada is writing. Of course, in the modern age, one may be amazed how the princess could stand in the water for 10,000 years. However, living within air or living within water is the same process. One simply has to learn how to do it. The aquatics live within water for their whole lifespan. Certain favorable conditions are created to enable them to live within water. In those days, people used to live for 100,000 years. Out of so many years, if one could spare 10,000 years for the sake of austerity, he would be assured of success in his future life. This was not very astonishing. Although such a feat is impossible in this age, it was quite possible in Satyoga. So yes, definitely, you know, when we understand it in the right context, the second, more than understanding the reality, more than justifying the reality, what is important for us to understand is the hidden lessons. How do we extract the principles, the eternal principles that are hidden in these events, in these narrations? And these eternal principles that are being advocated, that are being presented by Srimad Bhagavatam, These eternal principles are valid in all time, place, and circumstances. And therefore, you know, when we come across such pastimes, we need to understand that our duty is not to imitate such pastimes, but to learn from these pastimes and lift ourselves from the material consciousness that today we may be in. And once we understand these principles, the next responsibility is to demonstrate that how even these principles are very much valid in the modern context. And when we see these principles acting in our own lives, that is when we have that wow experience. Oh, how could this be possible? When we see the transformation happening in our own lives and by following these principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, many a times we are also amazed. We are also fascinated. Oh, I couldn't believe that, you know, I could get transformed in such a way. And therefore, when we talk about our responsibility, yes, understanding the pastimes by the explanations of the acharyas, understanding the principles behind those pastimes, the lessons behind those pastimes, and practicing and demonstrating those principles by our own example. So therefore, it is said that as practicing devotees, our job is to fetch the principles and frame the details. In the material world, we see the exact opposite that is happening. People, they fetch the details and they frame the principles. And that is what the modern science teaches, that you observe the details through your, you know, instruments, scientific instruments and everything. You observe the details in the universe and you speculate the principles. But the problem with this is that the moment something else is observed, the principles that are framed, they are bound to change. And therefore, the absolute science, it teaches us to learn the principles from the scriptures and use our intelligence, use the God-given intelligence, the logic that is given, the circumstances in which we are present, and you know how to apply these principles and work out the details in our own particular context, in our own particular circumstances. And when we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter, all the scriptures, all the bona fide shastras, it is explained that the scriptures, they are the manual for operating life. And these scriptures are a vast repository of such guiding principles. And the explanations of the acharyas, the purports of the acharyas, they act as torchlight for us, which help us very clearly to see the principles of the shastras. And therefore, it is mentioned in our prayers to the acharyas, we say, to the prayers of the spiritual master, we say, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya. This Shalakaya refers to the torchlight, that, you know, I am blinded by ignorance. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya. And therefore, I need the torchlight of knowledge by the spiritual master, by the acharyas, so that I can also perceive the principles of the shastras very clearly. So today in our discussion, we'll be looking that what is that foremost principle? What is that one of the most foremost, one of the, you know, foremost principles that we learn from the life of the Prachetas? From the life of the Prachetas, one of the things that I could figure out that could be very inspirational, that could be very worthwhile to understand, is this one principle. Please hear very carefully, because it has got a lot to do with our own practice of Krishna consciousness. And this principle is that serving needs empowerment. Very simple. In order to serve better, in order to serve in a, you know, bigger quality, with a better better quality and bigger quantity, there is a need for being empowered. And we see in this particular case that when King Prachini Barishat, he orders his sons to create progeny, the verse explains, Pitradishta Praja Sarge Tapase Arnavam Avishan Dashavarshasahasrani Tapasarcham Tapaspatim. It is mentioned Pitra Dishtaha Praja Sarge. When the Pitra, the father, he ordered Pitra Adhishtaha Praja Sarge in order to create progeny. Tapase Arunavam Avishan, the sons, they went into the Arunava, into the ocean, to practice austerities. Tapase Arunavam Avishan, they sat at the bottom of the ocean to practice austerities. Dasavarsha Sahasrani, for 10,000 years. Tapasarchams Tapaspatim. And what were they doing? The austerity that they were practicing. Tapas Archam Tapaspatim. They were worshipping Tapaspatim, the person who is worthy of, who is the master of all austerities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So here in this particular context, we find that the Prachetas, they very well knew that in order to create good progeny, there is a need for good consciousness. In the modern society, we find that, you know, when it comes to creating progeny, the personal pleasures, they are considered to be more important than the quality of the progeny. We find in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, one of the reasons that Arjuna gives for not willing to fight the battle of Kurukshetra, the war, Arjuna is saying that, you know, if all these Kshatriyas are killed, the female population that will be there will be unprotected, and they will be, you know, they will be harassed by the lower sections of the society, and the progeny that will follow will not be good enough. In other words, Arjuna is considering himself to be responsible for the quality of the progeny that will be there in the ages to come. And therefore, we find the Shastras, you know, they advocate practicing of these samskaras even before the birth of a person. And therefore, here we see the example of the Prachetas. They are willing to undergo this austerity so that they have a good consciousness, so that they can serve better, so that they can fulfill the order of their, you know, father. And this holds true for any service that we are, you know, someone is asked to render. In the typical world outside, we find that, you know, even when a person is out there to do a mundane job, he is given all training. And what is that training? That training is nothing but empowerment from the experience in terms of knowledge, in terms of the skill set that should be present with the person in order to carry out his job, his duty, his service in a better manner. And similarly, even for us spiritual practitioners, you know, we have a desire to serve Guru and Krishna, but then, you know, we understand that we may have that desire, but at the same time, there is a immense amount of challenge before us, because such desire to serve Guru and Krishna is nothing but the fight against the material energy. The material energy is a personal potency of the Supreme Lord, is a personal energy of the Supreme Lord himself. And he tests whether this desire is genuine or not. And therefore, we may have many dreams, many plans of growing in Krishna consciousness, you know, reading so much and, you know, learning so many skills, you know, preaching far and wide. We may have all these desires to practice our Krishna consciousness very nicely, very efficiently. But then we understand that, you know, everything just doesn't happen. I'll share a personal experience, you know, when the world went into a lockdown, typically a few months back, in April or May, you know, of course, the temple also had to be locked down because of the government rules. And, you know, when this lockdown began, personally, I had a long list of things, you know, now is the time. Now is the time I'll do this, I'll do this. You know, I have these many books to read. I have these many, you know, classes to hear. I have these many, you know, skills to fetch. So, but then after a few months, I realized that everything just doesn't happen. And what to talk of, you know, all these reading and hearing and preaching. we find there is a struggle, a day-to-day struggle, even when we are out there to chant the holy names of the Lord every morning. We find it's not that easy. We might have heard many a times that what we should be speaking very clearly, we should be hearing very clearly, but we know that the mind, you know, plays pranks on us, and therefore there is a challenge. Even chanting the rounds is challenging. What to talk of chanting the rounds, even getting up early every morning during the winter season, that in itself is a challenge. So yes, definitely there are many challenges, and therefore we need to understand that it's not all going to be possible by one's own prowess. Krishna speaks in the Gita, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Krishna is giving that, you know, information beforehand, even before someone starts practicing Bhagavad Gita. This disclaimer is out there in the very beginning, that, you know, when you want to overcome the modes of material nature, it's not that easy. There will be challenges, there will be limitations, and these situations, these challenges, our own limitations will overwhelm us time and again. And therefore, it behooves us to admit that each of us need help. Just like, you know, a person, no matter how good a swimmer he may be or she may be, you know, if he or she is in the middle of an ocean, no matter how hard the person tries, it's not so easy to just cross all the way, all across the ocean and reach the shore. And what to talk when someone has to cross the Bhavasagar, the ocean of material existence. And therefore, if we can follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, that will be in our credit. So Arjuna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, beginning of the second chapter. Arjuna is admitting that, yes, he might be a very qualified Kshatriya. He might be a very, you know, expert bowman. He might be a very, you know, exalted descendant of a great dynasty. Still, he needs help. And he says, Karpanya dosho upahatas swabhava prichhami tam dharma sammoodha chetaha yashreyasyan nishchitam brohitan me shishyaste ham sadhimam tvam prapannam. He says, Karpanya dosho upahatas swabhava. Now I'm completely confused about my duty. And upahatas swabhava prichhami tam dharma sammoodha chetaha. My intelligence is not working. It's not cooperating with me. And therefore, yashreyasya nischitam brohitanme. And therefore, with firm determination, I surrender unto you. Please help me. Please guide me. Shishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapannam. Arjuna is mentioning that I surrender to you not as a friend, not as a cousin. I surrender to you as a shishya, as a disciple. Please guide me. Shishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapannam. And therefore, by these example of Arjuna, we find that yes, empowerment definitely helps. What is the power of this empowerment? When someone is empowered, what could one achieve? Again, we see from the example of the Prachetas in this very verse, we find that being blessed by Lord Shiva, having executed their austerities for so long, they were so empowered that when they came out, they saw that the world was neglected in the absence of a proper king. Their father had retired to Kapilashram for practicing his austerities and had attained liberation at Kapilashram. And the Prachetas, they could see that the entire world is now covered with huge forests. And therefore, they found that, you know, the order that was left for them was to rule the world. There was a difficulty in executing that service. So the Prachetas, they had to clear the long-grown forests to make way for agricultural lands. And empowered by their tapasya, they emitted fire and started burning the entire forest to ashes. So we find that, you know, many such examples from the Shastras, and what to speak of the example of Srila Prabhupada himself. I mean, we can't speak enough about the beautiful example of Srila Prabhupada, the age at which he, you know, started this entire Krishna consciousness movement, the difficult journey that he had to undertake, the difficulties along the way, the, you know, health issues, the heart attacks and everything, and then landing into a foreign land with foreign people in a foreign culture. But then Srila Prabhupada said that I always felt the presence of my spiritual master. Yes, it was because of that empowerment. You know, he was empowered definitely by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself that he could achieve the impossible. And therefore, it is said that when someone is empowered, there is a beautiful shloka which exhibits the power of empowerment. Mukam karoti vachalam panghum langhayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam. Mukam karoti vachalam, a dumb person may start reciting beautiful shlokas. Mukam karoti vachalam panghum langhayate girim, a lame man can cross mountains. Yat kripa tamaham vande, if one is empowered by the blessings of great souls. And therefore, many times we fail to understand that the reason why we are unable to overcome the challenges, overcome our own limitations, and go all out in performing our sadhana with a better quality, in a better quantity, is only because, you know, there is some lack of empowerment in our lives. And therefore, if we can endeavor to get that empowerment from the great souls, we can also achieve, you know, amazing feats. There is nothing to feel that, you know, how could I do like that? You know, how could, you know, that's never going to happen by me. I'll never be able to, you know, do such things. Yes, when it comes to our own capacity, when it comes to our own qualifications, we'll never be able to, you know, do big things as far as preaching the glories of the Lord is concerned, as far as practicing our own sadhana is concerned. But then definitely if we are empowered, we'll be able to do it in a much better manner. And the example goes that just like a small tugboat, when that small tugboat is empowered by the engine, that small tugboat is capable of pulling a huge ship. If you know the big ships, you know, how are they parked in the harbor? It's not that the engine of the big ship is, you know, working till the big ship lands up at the harbor. No, the big ships, they come and they stay at a distance from the harbor. And it is these small tugboats which slowly drag the big ships and park them at the harbor. There's a beautiful story from the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So one time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he was traveling on a boat with some of his, you know, disciples or well-wishers. And one of the people there with whom he was traveling, he asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj that, you know, what is the secret behind your powerful preaching? What is the secret behind your, you know, impactful influence that you have before such a wide amount of audience? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he said that, you know, the reason for my, you know, whatever achievements or accomplishments you observe, the reason is the empowerment by my Guru Maharaj, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So the people, they got kind of confused that they said that, you know, but your spiritual master is a very low-key person. He was a very low-key person. He was not a very popular, a very, you know, famous person. But then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he pointed at the engine of the boat. He said, You know, are you able to hear the voice of the engine, sound of the engine? So the people said, yes, of course, we are able to hear. You know, the engine is sitting in a corner in the boat. But then it is only because of the power of the engine that this entire boat is moving ahead. So similarly, my spiritual master may not be a very, you know, famous person, might not be a very popular person, but then it is only because of his empowerment that I am able to do whatever I am able to do today. And therefore, when we hear these stories, we need to understand that the more one is empowered, the better one will be able to serve. And when it comes to service, this service is not just serving others, but also serving our own spiritual duties in a better manner. So therefore, you know, if we can have this one desire to be empowered, how can we actually seek this empowerment? We'll spend some time discussing that. If we can, what is that secret of empowerment? How have people in the world, they have achieved this empowerment? If we can know that secret of being empowered, definitely we'll be able to practice our own spiritual practice in a better manner, and we'll be able to impart Krishna consciousness to others in a better manner, in a better capacity, in a better quantity as well. So when we talk about the secret of empowerment, I typically could locate that there are these two secrets. The secret of receiving and respecting. Receiving what? Receiving the opportunity to associate and hear from the great souls. Accepting that opportunity whenever that opportunity is here. So receiving those opportunities to associate and hear from the great souls. And receiving the instructions and inspirations from the great souls. Because Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, that when one achieves the mercy of the great souls, the great devotees of the Supreme Lord, that contains the empowerment of the Supreme Lord himself. So yes, receiving and respecting, receiving the opportunities for associating and hearing from the great souls, and receiving the instructions and inspirations from the great souls. And we find from the Srimad Bhagavatam, even great personalities, they have followed this principle of receiving in order to be empowered. We find the example of Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Uddhava is associating with Krishna himself before he goes out to Badrika Ashram as instructed by the Lord. And Uddhava is hearing, he's associating with the Supreme Lord himself, and he is getting instructed, he is getting his inspiration from Lord Krishna himself. Then we find how Yudhishthir Maharaj in the 6th canto, in the 7th canto, the 9th canto, Yudhishthir Maharaj is associating and hearing from Narada Muni and getting instructions from Narada Muni, getting that inspiration from Narada Muni. In this particular section of Bhagavatam that we are reading today, we find the example of the Prachetas. The Prachetas, when they were out there to practice their, you know, when they were just beginning their austerities, they happened to come to the place where Lord Shiva used to reside. And the moment they saw Lord Shiva, they were very eager to associate with Lord Shiva. And that is how Lord Shiva, being pleased with their eagerness, Lord Shiva, he instructed them in the science of Krishna consciousness, and he guided them how to practice their austerities. So yes, we find the example of the Prachetas wanting to associate and receive the instructions from Lord Shiva. Then we find this particular narration is being narrated by Maitreya Rishi to Vidura. Now Vidura is also a very brilliant example of an eagerness to receive and associate with a great soul like Maitreya Rishi. And the example of Vidura wanted to associate with Maitreya. Then Parikshit Maharaj, who is hearing the entire episode from Sukadev Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj is so eager to hear and associate and get instructed by Sukadev Goswami. Thereafter, Suta Goswami, he was eager, he heard from Sukadev Goswami, and the sages of Naimisharanya, they are hearing from Suta Goswami. We find this nested loop in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam begins with the sages of Naimisharanya asking Suta Goswami, you know, please tell us what is the most beneficial thing for the entire humanity. And Suta Goswami, he narrates the, you know, what he had heard from Sukadev Goswami. So what he had heard was a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. So then the focus shifts to Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking about different aspects, and then there is the conversation happening between Sukadev Goswami, narrates the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. So in a sense, we find there are so many examples. All of these great personalities, by their own example, they are teaching us this principle that in order to be empowered, in order to actually be able to overcome one's challenges, in order to be able to successfully counteract the, you know, challenges of the material nature, the material world, there is a need for being empowered. And this empowerment, the secret of empowerment, lies in associating and taking those instructions from the great devotees of the Lord. So someone might say that, yes, agreed, that yes, this principle of associating and principle of hearing and everything is very nice. But you know what? The biggest challenge that is there in my life, and I'm sure many of you will be feeling this within your hearts, that yes, you know, the principle is perfect. We should definitely hear from a lot of people, you know, get a lot of inspiration and do wonderful things. But you know, there is this fight of time. The biggest challenge is, you know, there is so much to do and there is so little time. So many classes to hear, so many books to read, so many devotees to associate and, you know, seek inspiration from, so many dhams to visit, so many yatras to go on, even so many recipes of prasadam to try. But then we just fall short of time. And therefore we need to understand that even for sadhakas, what is important is to learn this art of proper time management. So this principle, this art of time management, is not just for the students, is not just for the corporate. This art of time management is very much needed for sadhakas like all of us. And therefore, if we are able to manage our time properly, we'll be able to definitely do a lot in the limited amount of time that is at our disposal. And this is where intelligence comes into picture. Because better time management is a result of a calm mind. Simple principle, something that we have heard time and again. If the mind is calm, we'll be able to figure out and work out things in much better manner. And therefore, the simple panacea, the simple solution for this, for calming the mind, is determined and focused chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Mind you, this, you know, all of us might be chanting, but then there is a vast amount of difference between, you know, just completing our rounds and doing chanting in a very, you know, peaceful setting, without a lot of distractions, conscious distractions, unconscious distractions around us. If we can spend some time, quality time, without being distracted, without having any kind of distraction around us, you know, mind you, this actually works. because the potency of the holy name, when the mind is repeatedly focused on hearing the holy names of the Lord, the mind actually gets calmed down. And that is when we are able to figure out how can we serve better. And that is when we are able to do more in the same limited amount of time that is available at our disposal. So therefore, we need to apply our intelligence to figure out how is it that I can actually achieve it, I can actually accomplish it. It's not that, you know, we just keep cribbing and we just keep giving those reasons. It's just not possible. No, there is a solution out there. If we can just learn the solution and apply that solution, we'll be amazed that we are also able to, you know, do much more, hear much more, you know, associate much more, and practice Krishna consciousness in a much better manner. So this is one particular challenge that typically sadhakas, like all of us, they have. Another typical, confusion that people have, that when we talk about receiving and associating with so many people, yes, there are so many devotees, you know, ISKCON is a big society today, but then how can we take instruction from everyone? Because there is a practical risk that is involved. If we hear too many people, if we take instructions from too many people, it just leads to confusion, right? And therefore, being part of a worldwide institution, we need to understand that there is a huge variety of practitioners. There is a huge variety of devotees. And we don't know who is at which, you know, a level of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, to be able to hear from everyone and filter what is needed for us, that requires a lot of maturity. That requires sufficient maturity. And therefore, unless and until we have that maturity, we can follow this four-point formula. This formula is something very simple, that the very first thing is we respect all. We respect all the devotees, but then we don't associate with anyone and everyone. We associate with a limited few, because there is a variety of flavors. There are many flavors within the big society, and therefore we need to choose what we like. We associate with a limited, you know, circle of devotees. But then there is the third thing. The third thing is intimate association with a still limited few. This intimate association is Guhyam Akhyati Prichati, with whom a close group of friends, maybe just three, four friends, with whom we can share our, you know, thoughts, with whom we can share our hearts, and with whom we can seek that personal, you know, guidance in our life. So yes, intimately associating with a limited few, but taking personal guidance from one person. Generic inspiration from all others, but personal guidance from one person. Because there are many different rites. There could be more than one right. And if we just keep hearing all the things that are right, we may get confused. And therefore, we need to stick at one place and get that personal guidance from one particular place. So definitely, the principles we get from everywhere, but we get the detailed help from one particular place. So I repeat the four-point formula that we can follow in our own lives, which will make life simpler for us, is respecting all, associating with few, intimately associating with still few, but following one person. So that is the principle of receiving. Receiving the opportunity to associate and hear from great souls, receiving the instructions and inspiration from great soul. The second secret of empowerment is respecting what we have received. Respecting the instruction itself by following them, and respecting those who are helping us follow these instructions. Let's elaborate on that for some time. So in the Gita, Krishna mentions, Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam yaninas तत्वदर्शिन है। Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this verse, he writes a very beautiful line. He says, satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. We find this particular secret practiced by Dhruv Maharaj. When Dhruv Maharaj was going to the forest to practice austerities in search of Lord Vishnu, he met Narad Muni and he followed the instructions of Narad Muni in the matter of deity worship. And here we find the Prachetas following the instructions of Lord Shiva himself. And the particular verse mentions that Yad uktam pathi drishtena girisena prasidata tad dhyayanto japantascha pujayantascha samyatah. When all the sons of Prachini Barhi left home to execute austerities, they met Lord Shiva, who out of great mercy instructed them about the absolute truth. All the sons of Prachini Barhi meditated upon the instructions, chanting and worshipping them with great care and attention. So what is the result of such a following? Prabhupada writes in the purport, Lord Shiva actually became the spiritual master of the 10 sons. And in turn, his disciples took his words so seriously that simply by meditating upon his instructions, dhyayantaha, they became perfect. This is the secret of success. In the previous canto, the third canto, there is this beautiful example, the beautiful story of Kardamuni and Devahuti. So the example, the story shows that how Devahuti, she was not so qualified like Kardamuni. Kardamuni was a very exalted soul. And Devahuti, it is mentioned that Devahuti, she was not very much advanced in austerity, in her meditative practices, or even her devotional duties. But still, she was sharing her husband's spiritual merits, her husband's achievements, because as a sincere disciple, Prabhupada writes, similarly, a sincere disciple, simply by serving a bona fide spiritual master, can achieve all the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master simultaneously. And that is when Devahuti, you know, just by faithfully executing the instructions, faithfully serving Kardama Muni, she became empowered to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself to be born as her child, as Lord Kapila. So we find, yes, definitely it's not just the story doesn't end with just receiving things, but also respecting, also following what we have received. And another aspect of respecting is, you know, respecting those who are helping us follow the instructions. And this cooperation, this aspect of cooperation is remarked by the Supreme Lord himself. When the Supreme Lord, he appears before the Prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the very first thing that he mentions is that I am very much pleased by your friendly attitude towards one another. He says, Sauhardena prithak dharma. I am very much satisfied, tushtoham, sauhridenava, by your friendly dealings amongst one another. This Kali Yuga is tagged as an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. You know, when people are together, there is a tendency to quarrel. And when someone is alone, there is a tendency to be hypocritical. And therefore, we understand that if we follow this principles of cooperation, the universal principle is whatever is focused on flourishes. And therefore, if differences are focused, the differences are bound to increase. But if similarities are focused on, and if similarities are appreciated, That is what strengthens relationships in this world. And therefore, here the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being revealed. The Supreme Lord, He is speaking about Himself, what pleases Him. And the Supreme Lord is mentioning, it is the friendly relationships among the practitioners, among His own devotees, which pleases Him a lot. In the purport of this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada defines what is real unity. This real unity is the attempt of the individual souls to satisfy the Supreme Lord. When the individual souls, they are attempting together with a central focal point to satisfy the Supreme Lord, this is a real unity. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of the United Nations, that they say that, this United Nations is bringing the world together, the nations together. But we find that with the passage of time, every year, the number of flags in the United Nations just keeps on increasing. So therefore, even this United Nations has failed in uniting the nations together. And this is only possible if the humanity, if the people in general, they are able to come together and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what will form real unity. And Srila Prabhupada writes that those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of liberation, all kinds of benediction to His devotees, as indicated in this particular verse. So this, we find that it is this attitude of cooperation which fetches empowerment for the devotee by the Supreme Lord Himself. In the last few days of His presence in this mortal planet, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned this, that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate amongst each other. So yes, definitely, receiving and respecting, receiving the instructions, receiving the opportunity to associate and respecting those instructions and respecting those who are helping us follow the instructions. This is the simple secret of advancement. So just to summarize all that we discussed today, we began by discussing that how these narrations in Srimad Bhagavatam, they might sometimes appear to be unbelievable. And therefore, our responsibility is to understand the context, how they could actually be possible, extract the principles, extract the lessons we could learn from such narrations and apply those principles in practice. And that is when we have our own experience. We have that wow experience and we are also able to demonstrate it to others, the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead and the supremacy of the power of bhakti. And therefore, we need to fetch the principles from the shastras and frame the details, not vice versa. So the scriptures, they are a vast repository of guiding principles for life, and the explanations of acharyas, they are like torchlights which help us see those hidden principles in the shastras. And one of the foremost principles we learn from the life of the prachetas is serving needs empowerment. If we have that desire to serve better, serve more, there is a need for us to be empowered. And we saw the example of King Prachini Bari asking his sons to create progeny. And the sons, the prachetas, they leave to practice tapasya for being empowered to do so. And this holds true for any service and for anyone in this world. And therefore, there is a need to be empowered. The more we are empowered, the more and the better we'll be able to serve. Now, the next thing we discussed, that how to be empowered to secrets was to receive and respect, receive the opportunity to associate and hear from the great souls, receive the instructions and inspiration from the great souls. And we discussed that how there is this challenge of time management, which can be very easily overcome if we manage to calm down the mind. If we manage to chant good quality rounds, and that is when we'll be able to figure out how to, do more in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, one has to be intelligent in and also we discussed that how one has to be intelligent in associating and accepting the instructions when we are present in a vast community of practitioners. And along with receiving, we also need to respect the instructions that we receive by executing those instructions and respecting those who are helping us or those who are following, who are attempting to execute the instructions along with us, and also act as inspiration for them. With those words, I'd like to stop here. Thank you all very much once again for being here this morning and giving me this opportunity to serve all of you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the very enlightening class. Yeah. We will have questions and realizations now. If anybody having any questions or realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji Nitanu Pranam Adoishta Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and you know, very important to focus on these points, to follow the instructions of the spiritual master.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I just wanted to say thank you for such a beautiful class. It was very practical and very organized. And as Shyama Gauri Mataji just said, there were so many important points that we as sadhakas need to focus on in order to make advancement. And it was really beautiful. So thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was very nice class, and especially the point of doing a quality round that is really going to help us in all the way. That's the thing that we have to take it seriously, Prabhuji. So because as always said, that 99% of our Krishna consciousness depends upon our chanting. So, yeah, all these things are going to help us in improving our chanting. So, thank you, Prabhuji, for giving this inputs and enlightenment. Hare Krishna.